Good to be back. Feels like I've been away from you forever. I was away at school, and I've been away interviewing for my next ministerial position. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been up here to preach a sermon. We had the holiday events, and then we had Martin Luther King Day, and Promise and the Practice. None of those were really our words. It was all something else. So if you look at our website with any regularity, you know that we publish the sermon topics and the descriptions well in advance. Thank you, Treva. That means that Kent and I need to let her know, usually by the middle of the month, what we're going to preach about the following month. We have to give her the titles and a description. So while I was in Chicago last month, I heard a UCC minister talking about the TV show This Is Us and what it meant to his congregation. And I thought, well, that means something to us too. There's a sermon there. And that's the sermon that I was intending to preach this morning. In fact, it's already written, and I tried it out last week on one of the congregations I was interviewing with. So, do you remember the Robert Burns poem, To a Mouse? There's a line in there that says, "The best laid schemes o' mice and men gang after glay." Or as we more often hear it in English, "The best laid plans of mice and men go oft awry." Well, I'm not sure that my plans went awry, but for a lot of reasons, the sermon that I wrote isn't the sermon that I think we need this morning. Yes, there's planning in ministry. Some of it's calendar driven and out of our control. Like holidays, Christmas is Christmas. That's when we got to do Christmas. But we're also looking at our church themes, and we map out the theological messages that we want to deliver over the course of the year. And then even within each service, we kind of plot the arc of the service. And we can plan all we want, but sometimes stuff gets in the way. Sometimes other things are more important. Sometimes the plan we made isn't the best plan anymore. So while ministry does involve planning, it also involves observation and flexibility and sensitivity. And a lot of things happened this week to tell me that the sermon I wrote isn't the right sermon for this moment. So I hope you don't think this is bait and switch. This is more my love for you. So right now, there is unrest in the Kenya home of my classmate Justine. There's been a government-led media blackout that's been going on since January 30th. And an opposition leader has declared himself to now be the People's President of the Republic of Kenya, even though sitting President Kenyatta is still in office. Journalists are in danger and democracy is threatened. Another classmate, Gurr, shared with us the increasingly dire situation at his home in Cape Town. They're running out of water. If you've read about it in the news, you'll see that now they've even calculated what they're calling day zero, the day when there simply will not be any more water. That's going to happen in April. I'm worried for him and his wife and their daughters. There was a 7.2 magnitude earthquake in southeast Mexico. As I mentioned, more than a dozen people were killed when a rescue chopper crashed. There are people in the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico who still don't have electricity or adequate shelter following the hurricanes that struck months ago and possibly faded from our minds already. It's only February, and we've already had multiple mass shootings this year. Just a few days ago, we lost 17 more people at Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Another person who shouldn't have gotten access to an automatic weapon killed innocent people. Our government is in a state of incomprehensible dysfunction. Every other day, there's some new revelation about misconduct or unethical behavior by our elected and appointed government officials. Our leaders, instead of trying to unite us, stroke the flames of mistrust, intolerance, and hatred, driving an even bigger wedge into the divide that separates us. Racism and oppression continue unabated. A national journalist tells an African-American basketball player to shut up and dribble, and then mocks his lack of a college education when he dares to speak his mind on national politics. The House of Representatives passed a bill that will gut protections for the disabled under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Almost every day, we hear another new Me Too revelation. Another story of the violence against women in our society. Racism, gun violence, sexual assault, natural disasters, political drama. And then on top of that, many of us are carrying some heavy personal loads right now. Reverend Kent's in Chicago, caring for both his parents. I'm still in physical therapy from an accident I had on Lincoln Drive, right out here on MLK Day weekend. I've spoken with several of you over the last couple of weeks and know some of the real and crushing sorrows and burdens you are carrying. There's so much going on in our world and our community right now. We're asked to participate in this cause and that cause, to make phone calls, to write letters, to show up at rallies, to read this book and that article, and listen to these podcasts in between going to this lecture and watching that movie. We're supposed to fight for immigration rights and disability rights and better schools and engage in self-reflection and self-analysis of our own behaviors to make sure we're not the ones perpetuating the racism and oppression that happens out there in the world. And we're supposed to do all this while our own blood pressure is out of control, our kid is being bullied in school, our parents are sick, and we can't make next month's mortgage payment. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want to throw my hands up and say, make it stop. It's too much. I can't take any more. I don't want to hear it. All the things. How in the name of all that's holy are we supposed to hold all the things? That's the sermon that I feel I need to preach this morning. So, how do we hold it all? How do we keep it together when there's so much, too much going on? Well, first, we acknowledge that it's real. We don't listen to what other people say or tell us how we're supposed to feel. We own our feelings. Now, I'm supposedly woke, and I have trouble staying current on all the important issues of the day. Social justice and problems of the world on top of school, ordination planning, graduation, job hunting, and physical therapy? Come on. I can't keep up with what I'm supposed to be enraged about. And I just don't have the time or the financial resources to do it all. So I find myself having to be selective about what I can do, about what I can be engaged with. Now, please don't misunderstand my tone. I'm not making fun of or dismissing any of the various, very serious concerns of our community or our world. Not at all. I'm talking about empathy fatigue. In light of what he describes as the breathtaking rhetoric of vilification and humiliation that now spreads through the public discourse, James Block writes that empathy, while now more necessary than ever, is in short supply. Feeling compassion for the difficulties of others is a hard emotion to sustain, even in the best of times. It too often fails to extend far enough or deeply enough to make the kind of difference we want it to, leaving us feeling at times less caring than we would like to be. And when we're dealing with our own stuff on top of that, we get frustrated and we withdraw. We're tired. We don't want to hear about that other stuff right now. We just want to hunker down in our own comfortable lives. No changes, no distractions, no challenges. UU Minister Reverend Scott Alexander calls it humanity fatigue. Back in 1995, he wrote about that condition where we, as a people, have grown tired of caring for the least fortunate of our citizens. Tired of protecting the elderly, of trying to fix the inner cities with all their unemployment, poverty, and crime, he writes. Tired of trying to rectify racial and ethnic discrimination and the cruel inequalities of our economy. We have grown tired of desperate immigrants pouring into America in search of a better life. We've grown tired of the hard work that a multicultural society demands. Our hearts are tired. We have a bad case of humanity fatigue. Whatever you want to call it, it's real, and it's okay to feel it. There's no shame in it, nor is there any reason to feel guilty about it. I've felt it over the last few weeks and the last several months. We've probably all felt it at one time or another if we really admit it. I can't look at a lot of the news coming out of Washington, D.C. these days. And this last school shooting hit me hard. I had to turn off the television because I just couldn't handle it. Not another one. But we can't fix what we don't acknowledge, right? So that's the first step, acknowledging our fatigue. And then, breathe. It's an easy second step. Just breathe. I learned a long time ago that I can't take care of anyone else if I don't take care of myself. We humans are fragile, sometimes even broken beings, often struggling to keep our heads above water. We must practice self-care if we hope to help anybody else. Like they say on the airplane, put your own oxygen mask on first. Meditate. Take a walk. Sit under a tree. Sing, dance, play music. Cook, read. Even if it's only for 5 minutes at a time, give yourself the freedom and the grace to practice self-care and to find those outlets that encourage and fortify you. And if you're struggling and you can't take care of yourself, reach out and ask for help. Call me. Call Reverend Kent. Send a message to the caring team. Tell a friend or a neighbor. But please know that you are part of a community here where we're committed to helping and loving one another in the good times and the bad times. Third, find hope where you can. Some find hope in knowing that nothing is permanent in this world and that everything around us is always growing, evolving, and changing. I have a friend who is, shall we say, very unhappy with our current president. And I have to remind her frequently that he won't be president forever. His term will end. One way or another, it will end. We can find hope in the knowledge that, like the song says, change is going to come. Situations change, as do our resources and our abilities to cope with them. When my mother was dying, I didn't know which end was up. I'd already lost my father, and the prospect of being an orphan was too much. I was in Boston, and she was here in Pennsylvania. She'd had a long battle with cancer, and I knew she was losing the fight, but I still wasn't prepared for it. But even though it was overwhelming, and even though it got worse before it got better, little by little, one day at a time, the rawness eased, and I began to adjust to my new reality and to heal. Which leads me to the last and most important thing we can do to cope. Do what you can. I understand that humanity fatigue, or empathy fatigue, or social justice fatigue, whatever you want to call it, is real. And I understand that sometimes we have to step back from everything else to put our own oxygen mask on and to take care of ourselves. But this is where it starts to get tricky. In many churches across the country, UU and otherwise, there are waves of discomfort about the amount of emphasis placed on social justice work. Not just anti-racism work, but also anti-poverty work, literacy, education reform, immigration, ableism, classism, sexual orientation, and gender identity issues, etc. The thinking is that the church should be a place for worship, a sanctuary from the stresses of the world, and not a place for justice making. That this is a place where you come to be fed and to be nourished spiritually, a place to get away, not another place to pile on the stressors of the world. As I said, this is where it gets tricky. Historically, our Unitarian and Universalist ancestors have always been justice-focused. They've always been dedicated to making society better and promoting equality. For example, many, but by no means all, many 19th century Unitarians and Universalists opposed slavery and were fervent abolitionists. Unitarians were very active in the women's rights and suffrage movements. We were early proponents of education reform. Waitstill and Martha Sharp and other Unitarians worked tirelessly to save the lives of Jews and victims of Nazi atrocities during World War II. We continued this work after we became Unitarian Universalists, opposing the war in Vietnam and supporting the civil rights movement in the South. We weren't perfect, and we still aren't perfect, but we do strive to live into our principles. Our theology informs our justice work. The two are inextricably connected. In worship and in life, we do what we can, as much as we can, to promote the inherent worth and dignity of every being, to foster justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, to accept one another and encourage our individual spiritual growth. We do what we can to help everyone pursue a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, and to exercise the right of conscience and use of the democratic process. We actively support the goal of a world community where there is peace, liberty, and justice for all. We do this because we are part of the interconnected web of existence. This is the message I needed to bring this morning. I feel your pain, your confusion, and your hurt over all the things happening in our world and in our lives. I feel your fatigue when it all just seems to be too much. I'm right there with you. But despite these struggles, please, let's not turn away from the problems of society and the world, because that's not who we are as Unitarian Universalists. That's not our theology, and it's not our practice. Let's lean into the challenge of staying connected even when it gets hard, when feelings are hurt, when someone makes a mistake, or even when we just don't feel like hearing what the minister is scheduled to preach today. Let's hold on to connection when we think there's too much social justice and not enough spirituality on Sunday morning. And when we think there's too much spirituality and not enough social justice on Sunday morning. Let's be patient, remembering that while our focus and needs may differ at times, we are still connected. Let's stay, even when we're tempted to quit and walk away. Let's do our best to stay connected, even when we get tired, even when we feel burnt out. And when we are tired and burnt out, when we're sick or struggling or simply overwhelmed, let's hold one another in the warmth of community until we are healed, because that's how we roll. Or you might say, because this is us. How about that? Maybe that is what I preached after all. We can be. Now, I'm going to take that back. We are a covenantal community dedicated to caring for one another and to making this world a better place for everyone. Amen, and may it ever be so.